everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. I found my paper on the dog we were trying to help get adopted at the SPCA. It's Zoe, Z-O-E, and her picture is on our website on dirtdoctor.com. Just click on the SPCA button. We're trying to help her find a home. She's really pretty cute. She's lost one eye. Adds more charm, really. And also, Adrian and Sparks are still looking for a home, and you can find their pictures there as well. This hour also brought to you by our Facebook page, and there's something really interesting going on with our Facebook. Like, as I told you, we've had well over 2 million people look at the one of the last posts that I made, which was about venomous and non-venomous snakes. It's just amazing the interest that it caused. It just erupted. I've got a new one on there that I wanted to tell you about because something strange happened. I've seen this irritating ad. It's actually kind of funny, but it irritates me because of the message that runs. And it's John McEnroe, the tennis player, announcer guy, and he's promoting a toenail fungus product that's called Jublia. And, you know, it's pharmaceutical, it's a drug, and it's, you know, not anything I'd recommend. And the point is, I recommend something that works a lot better. And it's funny, I was talking to Bob Webster about it on his show this past Saturday. We visit every Saturday morning. And he has been recommending it for a long time. And he was telling me that his niece, I believe it is, yeah, his niece lives in Mexico. And she is a veterinarian. And she's a doctor or something. She's not a vet. She's a doc. And she said that she's been recommending, and it's very widely known in Mexico, that cornmeal will cure toenail fungus. And we started recommending it some years ago. A listener called in with the tip that he and his wife had solved their problem. We've never made that big a deal out of it, so I decided to kind of highlight John's ad, which I have done. It's on Facebook now, three pictures of it, and then the little comment that I don't agree with that and that toenail fungus can be controlled a lot easier with the food, cornmeal. For some reason, the way I posted it, and I'll probably redo the whole thing and then turn it into a newsletter and go into more detail about all the different uses that cornmeal has. I don't think we've done that. We hadn't done it in a long time anyway. But for some reason, the way I posted it on Facebook, there's nothing there but the pictures of John and then two shots from the TV ad. You click on any of the three photographs and the text comes up, but it doesn't show now. So if you're looking at it now, you need to touch one of the photographs, and then the little bit of information about curing toenail fungus with cornmeal will come up for you. I'll make it better later, but I don't have time right now. David in Mesquite is next up. Hello, David.
Good morning, Howard. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a poison ivy growing on the front of my house. Hmm. What is a safe and organic way to get rid of it?
Well, poison ivy is a tricky thing. We've actually had a guest on the show, I think it was last year, that has a business. He's up in the Northeast, but he has a business where he goes out and removes poison ivy for people. That's all he does. And he's written about it. I think that there's a new book coming out pretty soon. It may already be out, that's going to be about it, too, that addresses how you handle the rash and the itch and the allergic reaction you get. So I'll keep everybody apprised of that. But what you have to do to get rid of poison ivy, David, is you have to physically remove it. If you've sprayed it with a toxic chemical, you know, you still have the plant there that has the oil in it that's a problem that can still give anybody that touches it the rash. So you really need to get totally rid of it. Then if the the pieces that start to grow again, when they're nice and small, they can be spot sprayed with the organic herbicides like Scythe Razor, Burnout, Monterey, those kind of things, or with the vinegar deal. But the first step you have to take is either hire a company, landscape company, to get rid of it for you, and there's several around that will do that, that claim to have employees that aren't allergic to the poison ivy. I've had some of those guys work on our properties. Or you do it yourself, and if you do it yourself, you wear long sleeves, gloves, and you tape it so that, and you put something on your face and neck so there's no way any of it can touch you, and you dig it out of the ground as carefully as you can, and put it in the compost pile or in the trash can, either one. The thing you don't want to do is to burn it, because breathing the smoke is the most dangerous part of poison ivy. And then, like I say, after you've physically removed it, when it starts to try to pop back and start to grow again, that's when you can spot spray and it would be effective. The organic sprays will work in that case. But none of them, including the toxic chemicals, will kill, you know, a big woody vine.
Oh, okay. So I need to – I can't just cut the vine with whoppers. I've got to dig it out.
It's really by far the best thing to do, David. The only other option is – and I've seen this work fairly well, and it was a tip that came in from a listener, actually. You cut the vine, leaving about a one-inch stub out of the ground just so you can identify it. And then you take a tin can, you know, that you got from the grocery store, and turn it upside down and jam it over and countersink it down in the ground so that you have effectively terminated, you know, that mother plant's growth right there. That doesn't mean that it won't sprout up here, there, and over yonder from the roots that are left in the ground, but it really does help to shut it down, and you can spot spray those little additional sprouts that come up. But the best way to go, this guy that does it for a living and people that are really honest about it, the best way to go is to dig it all out and be done.
Okay.
With
it. Okay. Thank you so much, Howard.
Okay. Good luck. And be careful. We was it last year or the year before, I had gotten real cavalier about it, and I had some popping up here and there from our wild place. You know, poison ivy was there when we bought the place. It still pops up here and there because I haven't done what I recommend everybody else do. And so I was out with a sharpshooter, and I was taking it out one day, and I was real smart. I was in shorts and a short-sleeve shirt. I didn't protect myself like I told everybody else. I thought I was being real careful. I was using the sharpshooter and sliding under it and lifting it out, not touching it, and putting it in a sack and discarding it. But somehow, and this is especially a problem for you midsummer to late summer, that's when that stuff is the most, the oil in it is the most volatile, I guess, and can get on you without you even knowing that it got on you. I got a real bad case on my arms and my legs. And it's when we had all the conversation about poison ivy remedies on the show. You can go back to the archives and look it up. We talked about it for two shows, and we had that fellow on from the Northeast that's actually in that business and a lot of good tips. But his main tip was, of course, he's in the business, but his main tip was to get it all physically removed first, but be careful to cover yourself completely while you're doing it. Janine in Chicago is next up. Hi, Janine.
Hi.
Or is it Jeannie?
It's Janine.
Hi, Janine.
I have a question about my roses that are dying.
Uh-oh.
The leaves are turning translucent, losing their color, getting translucent, eventually turning into skeletons, and the whole rose plants are dying.
Okay. Have you seen any beasts, little insects on the plant doing this?
No, I haven't seen anything on them. Okay. Just that the leaves start, losing color and becoming translucent.
Okay, so the tissue is not actually being eaten away. It's just changing color and becoming light and thin. It's still
right.
All there. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that doesn't sound like any of the typical diseases. The one called black spot, which is the most common on roses, starts off as yellow dots, and then they turn mm-hmm. black in the middle and expand. So it doesn't
right.
sound like that. Is this happening to one variety or several different varieties?
It's slowly happening to all of them. I have an ever-blooming one,
okay.
similar to a knockout, but it's not.
Well, it's some kind of stress. Let me put you on hold. I got to run for a minute, and I'll be back after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. SmartPot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Don't let biting, disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Protect your family, pets, and livestock with organic, easy-to-use mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. Summit Mosquito Dunks and Mosquito Bits kill mosquitoes before they're old enough to bite. And they're safe and effective to use in ponds, bird baths, rain gutters, and in any standing water. Mosquito dunks and mosquito bits are available at garden centers everywhere. Visit SummerResponsibleSolutions.com for more information.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: Vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth, vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth, animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth, animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth, children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth, children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I talked to Janine off the air there about her strange condition on her roses, the foliage of several different species and some old roses kind of fading. And the only thing that she gave me as a tip was she's never fertilized them. So they're definitely hungry. Roses are pretty good feeders, even though they can survive a long time without anything. They're going to like it better if they are fed. So I told her to do two things. Cut the foliage that is faded off, trim that off, feed the plants with some organic fertilizer, and make her own Garrett juice. We talked about that, or get some meals from the feed store or farm store if the garden centers don't have organic fertilizers, but hopefully they will. And then the third thing is to spray the plants and drench the soil with the cornmeal juice, soaking 1 cup of cornmeal and 5 gallons of water, strain the solids out, and spray that spray. Hopefully that'll help turn the roses around. Let's go to Coppell and talk to Michael next. Hi, Michael.
Good morning, Howard. How are you today?
Doing great. What's up?
Well, we're having a flea problem.
Okay. Yeah, it's common.
Yeah, I know it is. My wife read somewhere on the internet where you put salt on the carpet and it'll dry them out and kill them, but that didn't work. And then as soon as she mentioned that, I remember how you speak about diatomaceous earth. And I told her, I said, well, look up diatomaceous earth and see if that would work. And she found some things, but I wanted to run it by you first to see if you had any recommendations, because
sure.
I know there's several different types of DE, and I wanted to know exactly what to get or what you thought.
Well, first of all, I've tried the salt thing that she mentioned to you. It came up some years ago, and I gave it a whirl. Probably does work to some degree, but the problem with it is that it sucks moisture right out of the air, and it will end up making the biggest mess in your carpet you've ever seen. And so I don't recommend that. What does work that's along those same lines, better than DE, quite frankly, is borate products. B-O-R-A-T-E. Borate products contain boric acid.
Okay.
And putting them out in carpet, a lot of vets recommend that. You put it out and then vacuum the excess up. They work pretty good. Boric acid does have a toxicity, so you don't want to put it in any kind of concentration where there would be kids or animals around. But what I do that works really well for us, and our dogs sometimes are scratching and we think they have fleas and we can't ever find any fleas on them, so they just, you know, have some kind of a no-see-em or itchy skin occasionally rather than fleas. And all we do is use beneficial nematodes outside, and inside we clean with orange oil and use it quite a bit. We'll spray if we see any insects around in the house and that sort of thing. We have EcoSafe, an organic pest control company, come over and treat from time to time for moths and for roaches, but we've never had a problem with fleas in the house, and our dogs are in and out all day long.
We've never had one before either, but for some reason this year they've decided to...
They have spiked this year. We're hearing about it a lot. So the first step I would recommend that you do, and catching some of this rainy weather that we're seeming to have again, it looks like, would be good timing. Mail order the nematodes if your local store doesn't have them in stock. Just follow the directions on how to use them, and then use orange oil and or one of the borate products in the house.
Where can you get those borate products at?
A lot of veterinarians sell them in their places. You can also go to any of the pet stores, and they'll have borate products in the shelves.
Okay.
Yeah. The soaps, the boric, like Arm & Hammer soaps, will also work too, but they would be kind of like salt. I think they'd be hydroscopic or whatever you'd call it, you know, and absorbing moisture and become a problem. So the borates, orange oil, beneficial nematodes should take care of everything real well.
Now, can you spray the orange oil directly on the carpet?
You can. You just need to get some of them have some coloring in the product to get that orange color. D-limonene, which is the orange oil extract, is actually clear. It sometimes has a little bit of a yellow cast to it, but D-limonene is basically clear, so they put an orange dye in it. That dye can sometimes, in some products, cause a staining. So you might, whatever product you have, you might test it in small areas before you just spray it all over the place. As far as cleaning tile and linoleum and wood floors and countertops and things like that, not a problem at all. You spray it out and then wipe it down and don't leave any excess around.
Now, what kind of concentration would you recommend for doing the carpet and stuff?
Well,
like
inside,
that?
I do about an ounce per quart for the cleaning and all that. That's real heavy. Let me tell you the range. The range outside, and this would work inside as well, and make sure you wouldn't have any damage to paint or anything, and that is to use 2 ounces per gallon of water.
Okay.
And then you can go up to as strong as an ounce per quart inside if you want to clean really severely dirty or stained things and that sort of thing. It doesn't spray plants. If you use 2 ounces per gallon, it can be used outside to even spray plants and not cause any phytotoxicity.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Howard. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. The telephone number is 866-444-3478. Website's dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter's free. Just fill out the form that's right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Stick around. I'll be right back after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, let's get caught up here. Diane in Keller next. Hi, Diane.
What? Hello?
Hi, Diane. What's up?
Hey there. Yeah, I had a question about how to get rid of the, is it carpet fur, the spiny things that grow in your yard?
Grass burrs?
Yes.
Well, grass burrs are a weed that is a total indicator weed, and it's telling you, it's indicating that you have sandy, lousy soil. And, so the way you get rid of grass burrs is change the conditions, build the carbon, build the organic matter in the soil. That builds the carbon. And at that point, the little tiny black seed of the grass burr will no longer germinate. That's how you really get rid of them. You can also use, it's probably too late to do it now, but you can make a note for next year if you still have the problem the rest of the summer, to put out corn gluten meal as a weed and feed natural fertilizer in the early spring. They've already germinated now, so it wouldn't do you any good to put it out. At this point, all you can do is hand remove, spot spray with the organic sprays and that sort of thing. But to really get rid of them long term, you use lots of organic matter in the form of compost, organic fertilizers, corn gluten meal, humates, all those things.
What about the dried molasses?
Dry molasses will help. That builds the biological activity in the soil. And the quickest way to build the carbon in the soil is to have really healthy biological activity. The microbes, the bacteria primarily, and then the fungi and the protozoa and all those. But the greatest volume comes from the bacteria, and you get that by using the dry molasses as a natural fertilizer. It works
okay.
Very well.
We have started using that, and this is our first year having those in our yard, and I don't know where they came from, but we have been using the dry molasses, so I'm not really sure why we're getting them.
I don't know why you wouldn't have them and then have them all of a sudden either, because you haven't done anything to make the soil worse and more sandy.
No, we haven't.
Okay.
I can't understand how, unless an animal coming through the yard dropped seeds, I really don't know.
Yeah. You already are seeing grass burrs right now?
Yes.
Wow. That's awfully early in the year, so they must have been around last year then. Well,
yeah,
do the spot spraying and treatment with the organic herbicides is all you can do right now, and
okay.
then do the corn gluten meal next spring, early
okay.
in the spring.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that. Thanks. Grass burrs are definitely able to be gotten rid of, but you've got to have your timing just right for that to happen. Candace in Weatherford next. Hi, Candace.
Good morning, Dr. Howard.
What's going on?
I have a feeling I know what I had told that guy that I wanted your input, but I have a feeling it's going to be negative.
Okay.
It's kind of panic. But anyway, it's this little thing that Gizmo, my daughter, got me. It's made by Off. It's a little disc-shaped thing, and you put this little filter Gizmo in there, and the name of the ingredient I read on the packaging is metoflutrin.
Okay.
But anyway, it doesn't dirty up the dirt. It doesn't get in the water. I don't have to put any sprays on my skin of any kind. And it keeps the mosquitoes off of me. What are your thoughts on that? It's got a little fan, and it's just a little round disc-shaped thing. Runs on a couple of little batteries.
Well, I'm not familiar with that chemical, but it's certainly not an organic choice
no.
by any
no.
means. Exactly how does it work now? You put it on, hang it on your body?
Yeah, you can clip it on. I like to sit on my steps throughout the day when it's not too hot.
And it's emitting a chemical smell, odor of some kind.
No, it has no smell. It's got a little bitty fan.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold it up to your ear to even hear it. But there's this little thing that you put slide inside of it. It's got kind of a web on it, and I guess that's where this metoflutrin is. But it gives off no smell. But it sure keeps the mosquitoes off of me.
Metoflutrin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Flutrin. Metoflutrin.
Thrin. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll look into it. It doesn't sound like anything I would recommend, but let me look into it, and maybe it's going to be okay. I'm surprised somebody hadn't brought it up before now. Where do you buy it?
At Walmart.
Just
so
regular stores?
Center. Yeah,
okay.
It's just made by Off. But there's no smell to it, and it sure keeps them away.
Of course, they're the manufacturers of DEET, which I don't recommend at all. And it doesn't mention that there's any DEET in it, huh? Just this one
no.
chemical. All right. We'll look into it and see. Thanks for the bringing it up, and we'll check on it and put our 2 cents in once we get a little bit of research done on it.
I would like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to McKinney again and talk to Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Howard. How are you doing?
Could not be better. What's going on there in McKinney?
Hey, I've been organic for about 9 years, and my problem is I got too many earthworms. I mean, I'm putting down anywhere from 6 to 10 yards of mulch, mulching everything back in.
Yeah.
But these earthworms, they just take all the humus out of the ground and it turns it back into clay.
You know, so I read an article 4 or 5 years ago about earthworms becoming a problem in some forested areas, and I was scratching my head and thinking, that doesn't make any sense at all. But apparently there can be something to it, depending on which species of earthworms that you have. They can actually cause a downturn in the soil. So maybe that's what you're experiencing. When you dig up a shovel full of soil, how many earthworms do you run into?
Lots.
In every shovel full.
Oh, just about, yeah. Especially when the soil is wet like we've had it lately. But I did read something. There was an article that we're talking about up in the Northeast. You're talking about the earthworms. There was an invasive species that's causing a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think that's what I was reading about. I wonder if you've gotten one of those mixed in with your your crop there?
They're not real big, but you know, they're just, I mean, they will get 3-4 inches long, what have you, but they're just, the numbers is just amazing. I've got 4 big oak trees too, so I've had to go to all shade.
Yeah.
And how
are your plants doing?
Oh, I got a botanical center. I'm having
everything's doing great.
They do great. Yeah,
well, I don't think you got a big issue. You may need to go into the fish bait business, it sounds like, to get rid of some of them. There's not anything I would do unless it gets to be such a problem. You see a downturn in some of your crops, and I don't think that's really going to happen.
Yeah, the biggest problem is the soil just goes back to clay kind of around here. And, you know, so it's not rich in humus and so forth. Like, my compost piles are fine, but they're loaded with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just didn't know if there was a way to. I know synthetic fertilizers will kind of reduce the size and what have you, the numbers of them. But, yeah.
What happens with synthetic fertilizers is it ruins the structure of the soil, and you'll start seeing them. I see this on golf courses a lot. You'll see the earthworm castings all over the surface because the worms are coming up trying to get enough oxygen, you know, and they end up causing a cosmetic problem. So, yeah, synthetic fertilizers will hurt them to a degree. Even orange oil put out real heavily probably would too. I don't think, unless you're seeing a real downturn in some of your plant's health, I wouldn't do a thing about it. I just enjoy the fact that you have a lot of earthworms.
It's just tough. I had to spread mulch and everything every year. You know, 10 yards is tough. So,
you think that they're actually just destroying all the carbon because there's so many of them?
Yeah. Yeah, they just eat all the humus up, and so the soil kind of goes like it goes back to a clay type hard.
Well, some people would argue that they are creating more than they're using up, but I guess if you have a heavy population, it's possible.
Yeah.
Send me a picture. Okay. Send me a picture sometime. I'd like to see a shovel full and how many earthworms you have in it, and we'll do a story about it.
Okay, man,
all right?
No problem.
I appreciate
it. Howard.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Margaret in Centerville, Texas. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. I have heard, first of all, about poison ivy, that salt in water with some detergent will kill it. I don't know. I have not done
it. It won't kill it. It'll cause a little phytotoxicity. In other words, burn the foliage some. And I think the main part of that idea is that if you used enough to kill the plant, you're really going to foul up the soil in that
with
area.
With the salt, okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that and just wanted to run it by you.
No,
the main thing is crickets. I'm in Centerville, and I have heard that as far over as Marquette, which is some distance away, that it's the same thing. There's such an infestation. They cover the ground, come into the house on the floor. You can spend half the night swatting they're baby crickets. They're all hatching out at the same time.
Yeah, it's one of the results of all of our heavy rain, I guess. Crickets are pretty easy to kill.
Well, I've put out diatomaceous earth, and like I said, been swatting them. They've gone into the banks and the feed store, and the pest control person said he's never seen anything like this. So
we had them really bad like that one year. It was probably 7 or 8 years ago, but I haven't seen it lately. Diatomaceous earth does work effectively on them. Also orange oil. They are very sensitive to orange oil.
Okay.
And so spraying them with 2 ounces mixed into a gallon is a good way to control them. And then where they're active, you know, dusting with the natural diatomaceous earth as the follow-up to the orange oil spraying, pretty much you'll get rid of them.
Okay. Putting that across the doorway keeps them. But they're all babies. They're hatching out, and they fly.
Well, that's why if you spray the whole place with the orange oil thing, it's going to kill most of them. And then you follow that up with the DE to help get the stragglers that are still, you know, moving around.
And what do they eat? What damage?
Well, you'll see.
I know grasshoppers do immense damage, but what do crickets do?
I think crickets will eat some foliage, too. One of the places where I had the biggest problem with them some years ago was in an area where I'd planted white clover as a ground cover, and they loved it.
Uh-huh.
They're probably eating and on dead and decaying things a whole lot, like pill bugs and slugs and snails do, but they also will eat green foliage just like those other critters do. So they eat a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. But orange oil, DE, take care of them.
Okay.
And the one other tip, I guess, if for whatever reason you don't get as much satisfaction with that idea, the product called spinosad will also kill them as well. I hate spraying it all over the whole property, though, because spinosad does have some negative effects on honeybees.
Okay. Well, the pest control people apparently are enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. It'll keep them busy for a while.
Yes.
Okay. Keep me posted.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Bye. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number, well, we may or may not have time to get more than one more call in other than what we have. So give us a buzz at 866-444-3478. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
While summer is the absolute best time for swimming, cookouts, and much-anticipated vacations, it's the worst time to endure the pain and embarrassment of unexpected gas and bloating. Bloating often isn't even triggered by how much food you eat, but rather what you eat. Some foods are difficult for your body to break down, and those undigested particles pass into the colon and produce uncomfortable gas bubbles that can make your stomach swell and bloat, and can even lead to weight gain. Enter your summertime savior, Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics. This probiotic powerhouse helps by efficiently breaking down food that is challenging to digest. As a result, the undigested food occupies less space, so gas and bloating are significantly minimized. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available in convenient blister packs, perfect for traveling. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this summer. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back, and let's go to Cleburne, Texas, and talk to Flora. Hello, Flora.
Hi, Howard. I have a couple quick questions for you.
Sure.
The first one is the grape. Our grape leaves are kind of folded in half, and there's little worms in them. What do I do to treat that?
Well, that's a caterpillar, and that's the, you know, grape leaf roller. Has several common names, I guess. It's able to be controlled with the BT sprays or with probably even better in this case, spinosad would be very effective. You've got to really soak the leaves pretty well to get it to them. They've got to, it's got to hit them, get the spinosad on them to kill them. The BT, they have to ingest it. So
okay. When
they wrap, it's the only point that's a little different than spraying any caterpillar. Since they wrap the leaf around themselves, they're kind of protected. So you got to really soak it down well.
Okay,
now,
good.
Now, next year, it would be good, and you probably will eliminate this problem if you'll put out Trichogramma wasps. As the grape leaves start to emerge, you probably won't even have to deal with them other than doing that.
Great.
Okay.
The other question is the onions. You mentioned before you can leave them in the ground. You don't have to pick them.
You can leave them in the ground fairly long compared to garlic. I need to put a picture of all the garlic I pulled up the other day. I almost waited too long. They'll start coming apart. The bulbs will start coming apart, and they won't store as long for you. On the other hand, the onions can stay in the ground for sure past the point of the top dying, and at some point, you know, it's going to be too hot, and it would be better to have them taken out of the garden and put into crates and put into a place where it's nice and cool. But they can't. The point is they can stay longer in the ground than garlic.
Okay, good. One more question.
Okay.
On the kale, there's little holes. Something's eating them. And what can I do with that?
Well, it could be any number of things. It could be slugs or snails. You know, you need to use the slug bait called Sluggo if that's the case. If it's spotted or striped cucumber beetles doing it, the spinosad product, again, would be what I'd recommend.
Okay. There's a little bug on the plant that looks like a little bit like a ladybug, but it's got a different shape.
Yeah, there are some, the Colorado potato beetle looks like a ladybug, and there's a couple of other insects. If you see that it's not a ladybug, be careful. It may be a ladybug because they come in a lot of different colors and even shapes. But if you see that it is doing some damage, you can control it with the spinosad. Spinosad will affect beneficials, so don't use it unless you have to.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I appreciate the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Let's go to Fort Hood and talk to Roger. Hey, Roger.
How you doing, Garrett? How you doing, Howard? I got the tongue tied there.
You can just call me Dirt like all my golf buddies do.
Do that. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question. How can I organically get my lawn to get a little more greener?
Well, the first thing that you can do is go buy yourself a bag of green sand. The green sand that's available on the market right now is still really good quality. I've heard a bad rumor that one source may be going away, but right now it's really good. And green sand has available iron and a lot of other nutrients, and it really greens up things faster than any of the organic tools that we use. Now, any of them will do it. The Garrett juice, the mixed organic fertilizers that have different meals in them and all those things. But the green sand itself will do a faster job of greening than anything I've ever seen.
How do you apply that? How's it?
You can put it out at about 40 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, one bag covering about 1,000 square feet will really green things up right now.
Okay. We moved into a new house, and it's all St. Augustine. The only thing it's seen so far is Medina growing green.
Well, that's a good product, but you may want to do the Garrett juice mixture and the green sand combination. I think you'll see even more improvement.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and you have a good one.
Okay. You too, Roger. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Pam and Richardson next up. Hey, Pam.
Hi, Howard. I've been an organic gardener for over 8 years, but 3.5 weeks ago, I noticed rose rosette on my climbing pinky.
Mm-hmm.
So we immediately cut out the infected cane. I did the sick tree treatment and sprayed with your spray with the hydrogen peroxide and orange oil and Garrett juice. How often should I do all those? I've been spraying it about once every week.
Well, that's more than you need to do, probably.
Okay.
I wouldn't spray again until you see the symptoms return. I was noticing something really interesting the last couple of days, and that is I'm seeing knockout roses, which are the ones that are the most susceptible to rose rosette, as healthy as they can be all over the place out there. And we keep getting all this word that it's not, you know, everybody ought to be removing their roses and all that. I'm seeing some of them revert back to healthy conditions without even doing all of our recommended work. So do the spraying, and then don't do it again until you see the symptoms return, if they do.
And if they do, should I do the tree treatment again?
I don't think you need to do that but one time. If you did it right and did it thoroughly, and it's explained for everybody listening on the website under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. But
can I ask you a question about boxwoods in the front yard?
Yeah, let me put you on hold, and I'll talk to you off the air before I get out of here. And I just want to say thanks to everybody that participated today. Appreciate the tips and the questions and everything. Enjoy your gardens this week. I'll see you next week. And until that time, don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you later.